ask you to pray for me. And I mean that. I'm not being funny. My wife will tell you I'm struggling with my memory. I forget things 2 or 3 minutes after she's told me something. Boy, I tell you what, I don't have a bit of trouble with this stuff. I don't have any trouble with this. I know that sufferings mean pain and hardship because I felt pain. I stood beside my mother's bed when she passed away and I felt that hurt inside. I felt that pain inside. But I'll tell you what else, bless God, I felt. I felt the glory inside that said, don't worry about it, son. You'll see her again. Hallelujah. That's why we sorrow not as those who have no hope. That's the difference. And then he comes on and he says, now look, you're not in this alone. Where are we living right now? On earth. Right? That's where God put us. This is where God put us. You didn't just land here from Mars. God put us here. He created Adam out of the dust of the earth, he said, and put him there to watch over all that he created. And he said, boy, I tell you what, it's not good that he should dwell alone. He said, I'm going to make him a helpmate. Boy, I tell you, I'm glad he sent me mine. Well, I don't know what to do without her. I don't know. You see his tie? You see how I'm dressed? You know why I've got it on, brother? Because yesterday she went up there, she laid it out. Everybody thinks I've got good taste. I've got a helpmate. I'm not being funny. There's not a day goes by that I don't thank God for my helpmate. But surely I've got something far better than my little wife. I've got him. Huh? I've got him. And he says, now we're coming to the groaning now, brother. Well, you thought I forgot you, didn't you? I'm back to you. He said, now, you know, the earth, creation. Remember, he calls it creature, but it means creation. Everything that's created. Everything you can see and everything you can't see. He says, did you know, I'm paraphrasing now, did you know that it is groaning within itself, waiting? Remember, I gave you those three things. Creation is waiting. Remember, the intense expectation of the creation is waiting for the... Starts with an M, and the next letter is A, and the next... He got it. I knew he would. The manifestation of the sons of God. You know what? Isn't that great, getting up morning? That's what it's talking about. Listen, when the glory of God is revealed in the glory. I tell you, you remember when he went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and he did just like this? That's what the Bible said. He just pulled his skin back. And them old boys saw what? Saw his glory. Saw his glory. I don't know how he protected them from it. Because if you remember, Moses said, Lord, I want to see your glory. He said, all right, son, I'll let you, see. You can't look at, he said, I can't let you see the front of me, I'll let you see the back of me, but even when you see the back of me, I'm going to have to put you in the cleft of the rock, because that's God, otherwise you'd be a goner. Yeah. Huh? Well, I say, if you're not in the cleft of the rock, you're going to be a goner when his glory is manifest, right? Yeah. And then he says, now look, you got this day to look forward to. Isn't that great? Getting up morning, you got this day to look forward to. This day in which the glory of God's going to be revealed. And he says, but you ain't there yet. And he says, I remember telling, I'll come over here, John, he looks like he'd like know this. He says, I tell you what, you remember that word that I gave you where he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You remember that? He says, well, I said that for a reason. Because you can't make it without me. Oh, there's a song I sing, I can't even walk. without him holding my hand, bless God. And I'm going to tell you what the other part of that is. I don't even want to try. Huh? I don't want to take a step. I don't want to do anything without God holding my hand. He says, I gave you this verse. Says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, even until the end of the age. He says, but in person, I can't be there right now, Gene. So I'll send another comforter. I'll send the Holy Spirit. And the word another, remember I gave you there's two words in the Greek for another? Remember? Well, and I gave you my Bible as an illustration. One is, if I say, give me another Bible, you give me any kind you want to. But if I say, give me an Alios Bible, you have to give me one exactly like mine. Here's mine. Can you read all that scribbling? Huh? You'd have to be able to read all that scribbling. You'd have to have it. It has to be just exactly like mine. It has to have all these little scribbles in it. It has to be where I've poured over it and God's given me things. And I said, oh, I don't want to forget that. I got to write it down. That's what you'd have to give me. And that's why he says, I'm going to send you another one, bless God. One just like me. I'm going to send Jesus in the form of the Holy Spirit to indwell you. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to pray for you and plead for you. Bless God, till you get home. Yeah. That's where we left off. Now I'm going to really start going. Because this next verse, everybody knows. And we know. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. How many of you ever quoted that? How many of you ever just slowed down and said, Lord, don't let me go over that fast. There's too much in there to just run over it. I got to tell you, folks, I've quoted this verse so many times. You know, and I'd say to people, they're having a hard time. Well, you know, all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, God's made me slow down a little. And it says, and we know. You ain't guessing. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? You say, well, Tom, we're smart. Not me. I'm dumber than a coal bucket, honey. I'll give you a good example. My wife and I ordered a little house for a little cat, feral cat, that sort of come to our house, and we've got to feeding it, and it sort of adopted us, and she didn't want it to get cold, so she ordered this little house for it. Now, this little house comes in a little box like this. All I got to do is put it together, brother. I couldn't get it together, and I went back down to Tractor Supply where she had ordered it online, and I went in there to customer service, and I said, I want to return this. They left part of it out. She said, they did? I said, yeah, they don't have any walls. I said, it's got a bottom, and I see the top, and I see these sides, but don't have any walls. They've left them out. She said, well, so she got it out. Whoop, whoop, there's the walls. Whoop, there's, she said, well, no, there it is. Now, how do you think I feel? No, honey. No, that's an exaggeration. That's far too big to how I feel.
Okay.
You know what I said? I said, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I lied to you. I didn't mean to. I didn't think the sides were there. I didn't know the bottom was the sides. I thought the bottom was the bottom, but see, the bottom folds out, and then there's another bottom. There was three bottoms, but I couldn't figure it out. So my wife said, well, just give it back to them. So she ordered another, and it comes complete. I told you she's my helpmate. She says, I'll not put him through that again. Now, y'all laugh, but hey, I'm dumber than a coal bucket. But I'm going to tell you what I'm not dumb about, brother. I know. I know that all things, Not just some, bless God. All things work together. That means working together, jointly framed. That means all things work together for good to them that are the called, that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Now, there's two qualifiers in there. What are they? Huh? Well, ones that love God and are the called. You can't have the former without the latter, and you can't have the latter without the former, bless God. They go together like peanut butter and jelly. You can't have one without, you can't have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich without both of them, right? You can't do it. And all things won't work together for good to you unless you have, bless God, the Holy Spirit of God, unless you have the love of God, unless you are the called of God, which means you're a saint of God or a son of God or a child of God. That's when all things will work together for good. Now I'm going to give you an example. My retirement account. I worked for years putting money into my retirement account. Well, as you all know, coronavirus showed up. And as you all know, the stock market panics. I got nervous. I don't care to you, and God knows I'm not bragging, folks. God give me everything I've got. I lost a lot of money this week. I lost a lot of money this week. And I was nervous about it. And God said, what's wrong with you? Don't you believe what I just gave you? You know all that money I lost? It's working for my good. How do you like that? You say, oh, Tom, that can't be. Well, bless God, it is. He said all things work together for good. So that means all that money I lost, brother, it's working for my good. I don't know how. It's working for my good. That cancer that my sister's got, bless God, it's working for her good. You say, well, that's a terrible thing to say. I'm just telling you, this lady right here, she's what got her life back. But I'm telling you, what she had was working for her good, but she couldn't see that. We only see the good working for the good. It don't say that. It says all things. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can live with that and you can die with that. Because he says, and we know. Ain't no guesswork to it. I'm not believing it. I don't say I believe that. I don't say I hope that. I'm telling you, I know that. That'd be like me saying, I believe 2 and 2 is 4. And somebody'd say, well, I know 2 and 2 is 4. I could say, I hope 2 and 2 is 4. But if you believe something and hope something, bless God, there's some wiggle room. Huh? Maybe 2 and 2 ain't 4. Maybe I've been wrong all this time. Maybe it's 5 like they say now. You think I'm kidding? Hey, you just get a grandchild, bless God, and try to do the math work for them. I never will forget Bailey, my little great niece, she'd stay with us. And she was then. And she came home and she was struggling in math. And my wife said, well, honey, I'll help you. My wife's smart. Hey, I'm telling you, my wife is smart. Jesse will tell you, my wife's smart. She's an encyclopedia, bless God. I mean, I'm talking on the phone and I say something wrong and she's correcting me all the time. Well, hey, that's good. It's sort of like word, what's that word? What?
Autocorrect.
Yeah, autocorrect. She's an autocorrect. But anyway, here come Bailey, and she's going to try to help her with her math. And so she said, well, I've never seen nothing like this. They're going into the garage, and these packages in the garage, and all this nonsensical stuff. And so she tried to help her, and she came home next day, and she said, Mimi, I got 43 on my test. My wife said, well, honey, I'll not be helping you anymore. I don't understand what they're teaching you. You know, because I can remember to this day, my dad, now he wasn't, he I think the eighth grade as far as he went. But he knew too. He knew what to tell me what to know. I can tell you that. He may not went far in school, but he knew what he knew. But he went to the eighth grade. But you know what was so important to him? And boy, you did it too. Your multiplication table. He said, you will know them. You'll have them memorized. And I'll question you on them. And buddy, he wouldn't let up either. Because he knew that math was important. He knew that it was more important, John, to multiply something than to add something. Because if I tell you 2 times 2 is 4 and 2 plus 2 is 4, now that's the same number, isn't it? But if I tell you 3 plus 3 is 6, well, 3 times 3 ain't 6. Huh? Now we're starting, 3 times 3 is 9. Now we're getting on, 4 plus 4 is 8, but 4 times 4 is 16. Now it's more important to multiply, bless God, than it is to add. So if you want to accumulate something in this world, you better start multiplying it instead of adding it. You say, well, Tom, how do I do that? He says, well, if you'll bring it into the storehouse. Oh, yeah. He said, if you'll make sure that you bring what I've told you to bring into the storehouse. It's the storehouse, folks. He says, I'll open up the windows of heaven. And I'll pour you out a blessing, blessed God, that you can't contain. I'll multiply it out to you instead of add it to you. That's the difference. So he comes on and he says, for I know that all things work together for good to them that are called that love God and are the called according to his plan. Listen, whatever's in your life, it's working for your good. First of all, if you love God. Now, how do you love God? Now I've got deers and headlights in here. I thought everybody's on track with me. How do you love God? Huh? Well, that's what the Bible says. Well, now, brother, that's just an evidence of it. That don't mean that you, that's just an evidence. He says, you shall know that you've passed from death into life if you love your brother, right? Yeah, but how do I know that I love God? Huh? Can I just love God? Can anybody just love God? Can anybody just go around and say, I love God? No, well, I said anybody can say it, but I said, how do you know you love him? Keep his commandments. You can't keep his commandments. For crying out loud, what's wrong? That's works.
Through his son?
I didn't think anybody's picking up what I was putting down. Verse 1 says it all, folks. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Well, look, if you're not in Christ, you can't love God. How you gonna say you love God? You've rejected his son. That'd be asinine.
Now, plenty of people say that.
Well, I said you can say it, but that don't mean it's so. And that don't mean it's everything gonna work good for them. It works together for good to them that love God, to them that are in Christ. Well, he didn't stop there though. Remember, I said you can't have the former without the latter, and you can't have the latter without the former. And our I know what? And are what?
Called his purpose.
No, that's wrong. And are what? Huh? Oh, thank you, Annie. You can't leave out that definitive article.
That's right. You get in trouble.
Because, see, there's two callings in the Bible. There's a general calling. There's that external calling. The preacher, on Sunday mornings, he's preached his message. And we sing a song. And he's given an invitation. Well, you know what invitation is? That's a calling. That's the Holy Spirit calling. That's God calling. Do you want me? Will you believe me? Will you accept my son for the forgiveness of your sin? That's the calling. Once you acknowledge that and once you receive that, then there's another calling, bless God. That's when I'll do it this way. I'm sitting here a lost person. I'm sitting here a lost person. And the Holy Spirit has got me. And he says, son, you better get right today. You need to get right today. You need to get right today. And I say, okay, God, I'm a sinner. I need you to save me. And I do this. I'm going forward. And I do this. What gets up? Who gets up? Huh? Well, no. Bless God, I'll tell you what. The sinner don't get up. The saved got up. Huh? The called got up then. Because I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to get to the front to get saved. You'll get saved right there when you acknowledge that you need God. The Holy Spirit's going to come now and he's going to do the other calling. Now, the other calling is the internal one. And remember, he says he's indwelling in a new person. All things, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He's inside you. That's the calling. That word called means saint. Saint. The word saint means child of God. Holy. You can't be holy unless God moves in. You can't be a saint unless God moves in. Well, God ain't going to move in till you acknowledge the first calling. And that's what it means. So what he's saying is, my children, all things, and they know this, he says, all things work together for good to my children according to my plan. Not their plan. They're not on their plan. They're on my plan. You know, till you're 26 years old, you can be on your wife or your husband's insurance policy, right? Huh? Yeah, you can be on their plan. And you have to go according to their plan. Well, when you're saved, you're on God's plan. Now, what is God's plan? Well, could you give me a verse in the Bible that would tell me about his plan? Well, I'll give you one. It's in Ephesians. And it says this. This is his purpose. That he would gather together all them that are in Christ Jesus, both that are in heaven and those that are in earth, to the glory of the Father. That's his plan, folks. His plan is to bring us together to a certain place. Remember I told you when it said the Holy Spirit is leading, we're being led by the Holy Spirit. Those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And I told you that word led means he's leading to a place. Well, that's God's plan. He's not going to leave you here in this sin-cursed world. Going to give you a new place. And that's his plan. But it gets so much better than that. For he says, for as many as he foreknew, to those that he foreknew, he predestinated, he preordained, he set in stone that they should be conformed to the image of his son, that he, his son, might be the firstborn of many brethren. Do you know what it means for God to predestinate something? Dwayne, here's what that means. If he says, I give unto thee eternal life and you'll never perish. Remember, I started this out with Psalms 119:89. What does that mean? That means that what I just told you, son, is settled. It's established. It's standing in heaven. It ain't going to be shook. It ain't going to be moved. It ain't going to be changed. I give unto you eternal life, and you'll never, ever perish. That's what it means to be predestined. But he says, his foreknowledge. I can't explain that, folks. I wish I could. I study as best I can. I can't explain God's foreknowledge because his ways are above my ways. His thoughts above higher than the heavens. I can't explain it. All I can tell you is it's true. And then he said, the next verse, this is so good you can't hardly stand it, brother. The next word is what? Moreover. What do you think it means to be moreover? What, hasn't he given us enough? Isn't it enough for him to say, everything's going to work out for your good because you love me and because you're the called and because I predestinated you to be the image of my son? Isn't that enough? But not for God. He's so good. Oh, he's so good. He says, moreover, on top of this, let me just pile, I'll open up the windows of heaven. I'm going to pour you out something you can't understand. He says, moreover, those whom he predestined, those whom he established as his, he says, those who he predestinated, he also called. And whom he called, he justified. And those that he justified, he glorified. How many of you are in your glorified body right now? Raise your hand. If you're in your glorified body, raise your hand. That's what I thought. Mine's, no, now put your hand down. I don't want you. You're not in it, Chris. Well, how can you be glorified if you're not in your glorified body? I wish somebody would think back just a little while ago. And, you know.
Oh, I know. It's not been revealed.
I know. You got it. It's the glory that's in us. You're already glorified. You're just, remember he says, everything is waiting for the adoption to even the redemption of our body. Of our body. This is all set in stone, brother. This ain't going to be changed. You can't change it. You can't do anything to change it. I don't want to do anything to change it. But even if I wanted to, I can't. It can't be changed. Because he's predestined you. He's called you. He's justified. You know what justified means? It means to declare you innocent. File that. I'll be right back to it. To declare you innocent. And he says, in whom I've declared innocent, I've glorified. And then he says something after that. What does he say? What shall we say to these things? Isn't that a wonderful thing to follow this up with? Well, what do you say to these things I've just said? He says, all things is working good for you. I've predestinated you. I've called you. I've justified you. I've glorified you. Well, what can we say to these things? Well, it's the only answer you could say. If God for me, who can be against me? Huh?
That's right.
Not just who, folks. What? Not just who, what? And then he says this, for if he spared not his own son. That's how you got everything that he just said he'd give you. He spared not his son to give it to you. He gave his son up. He said, but if he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. But he didn't stop there either. It's moreover. Bless God, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I get this stuff just tires me off. He says, I ain't stopping there. He says, I'm going farther. He says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he freely? How shall he not freely give us all things? What does that mean, all things? Oh, don't you remember over there earlier? He says, for we are heirs and joint heirs with God. We are heirs with Christ and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's going to give it all to you. He's not going to give you a part of it. Bless God, he's going to give you all to you. But he ain't going to give you all. He's going to give me all too. You say, Tom, that's not possible. Well, it ain't possible for me and you, but it is for him. I don't get nothing you don't get. You don't get nothing I don't get. We get it all. And then he says something else. He says, who is it then? If God is justifying you, what's it say? Are you not looking? Huh? No. What's the next verse say, honey?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Y'all not following me?
Yeah, I follow. I went back.
Huh? Do what?
Who can condemn us?
No, that's the next verse.
Okay, well, you're justifying.
I know, but
God who justifies.
He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? For it is God that justifies. In other words, here's what that means, Myla. Who's going to charge you with something? If God says you're innocent of everything, who's going to charge you with something?
Nobody.
Huh? Don't y'all remember the story of Job?
Yeah.
Don't y'all remember the story of Job? Here comes Satan up, and he's coming up to God. Now I don't understand that, but that's what the Bible says. And he comes up to him, and he says, God says, have you seen my servant Job? Have you seen what kind of man he is? Satan says, yeah, but you take all that them blessings away and he'll curse you. He said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let you lay hands on him. I'll let you do whatever you want to do. What was Satan's response? I can't. Oh, yeah. Don't forget that head, honey. I want to tell you, that head's the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, oh, I can't touch Job. I've tried to touch Job. You've blessed him. I've tried to take it away from him. I can't touch him because there's a hedge around him. He says, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take the hedge down. He took the hedge down long enough, honey, to make you sick. But all things work together for good. Huh? And so he says, okay. And so he did what he did to Job, and he come back and he says, oh, that's not enough. And God says, well, I'll tell you what, you can make him sick. But you can't have his life. Well, then who's in control? Hey. God's letting Satan do what Satan's doing because God's going to get glory out of it. Well, isn't that what that's saying?
Yeah.
Who can lay anything to your charge? It's God that justified you, brother. It's God. It's not, listen, that's not just words. That's not religious stuff. That's the truth. God justified you. God made you right. Well, that's not, but moreover, that's not enough. I'm going to make you happier, he says. Who is it that condemneth? Who is it that's going to judge you? It's Christ that died. Even is risen again. Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. And who sits at the right hand of God. Oh, here comes another word. And also, moreover... Listen, he's just not sitting there. You know what he's doing, honey? Move over a little. Move over a little. Here's what he's doing. You're God. I'm Christ. Myla's messed up.
Yeah, Myla messed up. But she's mine.
She's mine. Would you forgive her? She's mine. Boy, if I don't help you, I can't help you. The Lord Jesus, listen, the Spirit's already been up there pleading. Now he's got Jesus up there. Well, who's going to lay anything to your charge? He says, not only is he sitting at the right hand, he's pleading for you. You're going to mess up. I'm going to mess up. But he's pleading for you. That's good. And you know how the next part starts? What shall separate us? I'm going to have to separate for today, but I'll be back, Lord willing, next week. We'll be talking about, can you be separated from the love of God? Huh? Oh, you better believe you can be. Don't you buy into the fact you can't be separated from the love of God. But there's a way in which you can't. But there's a way in which you can. Well, see you next week. In that great getting up morning, fare thee well, fare thee well.